It's time for a solid hour of business insights and strategies for success on Mind Your Business. And here's your host, the president and founder of Bottom Line Marketing, Yitzhak Saflis.
You're tuned to another edition of Mind Your Business with Yitzhak Saflis right here on 77 WABC, airing with the signal of 77 WABC, 50,000 megawatt channel. Did I get that right? I think I did. I hope so, because it's 77 WABC. But around the world, we don't let you down. MYBRadio.com, that is the platform for this program. MYBRadio.com, that's how we come to everyone worldwide. And my guest this evening is none other than Chuck Garcia. But first, we're going to get to Chuck in a moment. But and we had Chuck in the past, but when we had him, I don't think we were in the top 10 in New York AM radio at that point. But for the past few years, we have been in the top 10 in New York AM radio, according to the Nielsen ratings. And of course, that's a testament to you, the great listener, and all the tens of thousands of listeners to this show. Thank you for tuning us in and week out. You've come to rely on us to get you great business content, and we sure do, and tonight's going to be no different. We cover such a wide range of professions and categories, including sales, social media, strategic planning, leadership, communication. Oh, we're going to talk about communication tonight, folks. Marketing and advertising, time management. Chuck could talk about each one of these, but it's only an hour, so we're going to have to see what we get to. But stay tuned for tonight's edition of Mind Your Business, where you'll gain solid advice to get you ahead in today's business world. And by the way, I do appreciate feedback. Chuck's going to talk about this, the power of a thank you, the power of an email, of a letter. I get, I don't know if it's dozens, or I get feedback all the time about this show. And you know what? It means a lot. I'm human. We're all humans. Chuck's going to talk about it. So I'm going to open with a thank you to my team, the team here at Bottom Line Marketing Group. Chuck, isn't that the right thing to do?
It is. And in fact,
his blessings.
Fire away.
All right. So we thank Srilly over here, Michal, Eliana, Miriam, Dina, who plays a great support role for the show, and to the great folks at 77 WABC, James, Matt, Chris, Lexi, Justin, thank you. Also, a special shout-out to the various channels that Mind Your Business is syndicated on, B-Tank Magazine, and there's a new column coming up soon in The Jewish Home, syndicated nationwide. We're on C-Suite TV, C-Suite Radio, the OG Podcast Network, Player.fm, iTunes. We have a robust YouTube channel. Tonight's episode will be up on our YouTube channel. And all episodes are available by going to mybradio.com, mybradio.com. That's where you can catch the interview I had with John Sculley, former CEO of Apple and Pepsi, Dick Schulz, founder and chairman emeritus of Best Buy, Joe Hart, president and CEO of Dale Carnegie, Rachel Krause, VP of marketing at Westfield World Trade Center. The list goes on and on. Captain Sully Sullenberger, James Rosebush, former senior advisor to President Ronald Reagan. Oh, the list goes on and on. Steven Sato, former CEO of Saks Fifth Avenue. I can go on and on, but I got to get to Chuck, so I'm going to now put down that list and say that you can access all past episodes by going to mybradio.com. Well, without further ado, Chuck Garcia. I first want to open by the best accolade is he is a buddy. Chuck is a good friend. He's someone that I could talk to. He's someone that just understands people really, really well. Did I say that correctly? I said right. Well, I know you're going to be humble and you're going to say, well, thank you. But I'm saying it with the correct with the correct communication, with the correct emphasis. That's the word I'm looking for. Because Chuck is just someone that understands. Chuck is a professor at Columbia and LIU. He wrote the book, I have it in my hands here, A Climb to the Top, Communication and Leadership Tactics to Take Your Career to New Heights. He is an executive coach. No, he will not share the names of the people that he coaches. But they are an A-level list. We'll put it at that. He did work for Bloomberg. He did work for many Fortune 500 companies. Without further ado, a very special warm welcome, Chuck Garcia. Chuck, thank you for joining me here on Mind Your Business.
Yitzhak, it is such a pleasure to be here. Thank you for having me.
Well, Chuck, where do we start? And by the way, I forgot to mention this. He climbs Mount Kilimanjaro. I had to prepare, you know, I had to practice saying that. I finally learned how to say it, Mount Kilimanjaro. Not that easy once you see it. How high is that mountain?
That mountain is at 19,300 feet above
sea level. That's
nothing
to sneeze at.
No, we didn't sneeze on the way up because we were just so busy trying to breathe.
What is it like climbing a mountain?
It is indescribable in such that you don't really have an appreciation of how important this word oxygen is until you are deprived of it.
Mm.
And for the mountain climbs that I've done, there's a few things that come to mind. And one of them is when I was on Kilimanjaro and I was coming down, that's when it really hit me. This thing that we just did, of which there were 39 people that got us to the top on a team of 13 and 36 porters. So you can imagine every day we were ascending. And in Kilimanjaro, you start in a rainforest.
Mm-hmm.
And each night that you ascend, you're on the same mountain, but the topography changes every day. And after the fifth day, you're in an Arctic desert. And it's hard to believe that 18,000 feet below, you were sleeping in trees, and here you are, there's nothing, and you're breathing. But Yitzhak, I've climbed other mountains as well, and many of the other mountains at similar elevations, you think about a mountain climb, it feels like a career. You have your goals, your ambitions, your desires, but you recognize that the most important aspect of climbing that mountain is the people you are climbing it with. A number one, mountain climbing is not just something that is individual. It is something that requires the mindset of setting a goal. Now, in the case of a mountain, a goal mm-hmm. is not to get to the top. The goal is to get
it's
home.
Not,
no.
You mean to get back down as
well. To get back down,
that
right.
That's true. Okay.
Climbing is only, the top is only halfway there. The second part is, and this is where careers come in, you take one step at a time. There are no shortcuts. And particularly, I know many of my students, they're all in such a hurry. I want to be CEO by the time I'm 25. There's no shortcuts. And if they exist, I haven't seen it. And then the third part of it is you can't do it alone. So think about that metaphor. Set a goal, one step at a time. You can't do it alone. How many things does that apply to? It certainly applies to mountains and absolutely applies to careers.
It
yeah,
really applies to everything.
Right, and that's the metaphor that I use in the teaching narrative that I have is everybody has mountains to climb. You don't have to climb Mount Kilimanjaro. You have your metaphorical mountain. But think about how we approach each of the mountains that we are about to climb. And what I hope I can do is mm-hmm. inspire people to recognize, choose your mountain. Sometimes other people may choose it for you. But either way, there are common elements among every mountain that you're going to climb in your life. And communication mountain, that's my favorite mountain. And that's the one where I'd like to think that I can be of the most help in being a guide.
Chuck, you have so much to share, and I want to encourage the listeners to visit. Is it Climb Leadership?
Yeah, well, the website there is, but the website is chuckgarcia.com.
Chuckgarcia.com, and on there, he obviously that's a way to get in touch with Chuck to find out more information about his executive coaching and the fact that he is a public speaker. I think you're NSA?
I am a member of the National Speakers Association. I am a professional speaker. So I really, when I think about Yitzhak, what I do for a living, when people ask me, the answer is pretty simple. I go to work every day in the service of someone else's success. And think about what you do here
special.
At Bottom Line Marketing.
That's
what
special.
You do here.
Thank
I know you.
You
do it here because I feel it when I walk into your studio. But that is what we do. How we do it, a couple different ways. Executive coach to many, many, many financial institutions, helping the common thread among many executives who have been promoted on the strength of their technical competence and are now reading a job description of which many do not quite feel equipped. Because if they were an accountant or an engineer, now they are vaulted into a position that requires a different set of skills. And normally in the promotions, when people become C-level or being considered for that, and you look at what they want, there are three common themes that come across everyone that I coach. Number one, does this individual have grace under fire? Are they calm under pressure? Number two, Are they good at resolving conflicts? That's such an important component to it. And number three, which has become part of modern leadership, is how empathetic are they? Do they feel their employees' pain? Do they understand what their employees want and need? And when you think about those three, which are common to every project that I'm on, who was teaching our children that in high school and in college? And when we think about how the world evolved, it really boils down to that becomes the benchmark. How do we help others to be calm under pressure? How do we help them to resolve conflict? And how do we help them to be more empathetic and to bring greater emotional intelligence? If we can get to that and help with each one of those components, that's a formula for success. But it is rooted so often in the ability to be able to speak with purpose, to be able to listen with intent, and to be able to connect to people on an emotional level. And that is just not something that I think the conventional education model puts an emphasis on.
Well, Chuck, I mean, just I got to remind you here, you know, you're on, there's tens of thousands of people listening, and you do have a job at Columbia and NYU. I hope you'll have a job already still tomorrow.
Oh, I hope so, yeah.
Because you are saying something that's so profound, and you know, people go for years for higher education development, and very often I've heard the comment, they're like, what about the skills that someone would get at a Dale Carnegie? They're not being given in college.
Interestingly enough, there's a gentleman that I hope most of the listeners know. His name is Warren Buffett.
Oh, sure.
Warren Buffett graduated from the University of Nebraska. He also has his MBA from Columbia. And if you were to visit Warren in his office in Omaha, Nebraska, you will notice in his office there is one diploma on the wall. And it is neither one of those academic institutions. It is the Dale Carnegie Institute. And when you ask Warren Buffett for advice, he is the first one to say, improve your communication skills and you increase your value in the marketplace by 50%. Think about that as an individual who spends his time in a specialized profession, buried in spreadsheets and financial models.
Right.
And what's the advice he's giving? Communication skills.
Right. You would think the advice would be, you know, take a Microsoft Excel course, take more financial management courses and all that. Communication.
Indeed. In fact, in the book that he recommends that I recommend to all of my students is called How to Win Friends and Influence People. This book was written in 1936, and I read it all the time. It is as applicable today as it was then, and I'd like to think that 50 years from now it will be just as applicable, because this is where we begin to augment our education.
And Chuck, you're saying this even with the advent of Facebook, Twitter, WhatsApp, and the list goes on.
Yeah. In fact, as much as we love the social media, has done wonderful things, it also has created a crutch for many of us in communicating, and it allows us to abbreviate the way we would use language. It allows us to condense things in Twitter in X number of characters, so it's 180 characters. These are good things. However, sometimes there is an unintended consequence to the technology that, unfortunately, it has eroded or at least maybe de-emphasized the way we normally think about how we connect to others. So now what we like about the social media, it gives transparency to so many people that we're able to come into our world and share our world with us. Mm-hmm. But at the same time, there is a diminishing of the quality of the one-on-one interaction, or even when an executive gets in front of a large audience to create a presentation, the language skills are not as sharp as they used to be. Definitely has slacked off a bit in the discipline that we bring to language. So often when I have a client, I first have to establish a baseline of natural tendencies. And what often happens for someone that I'm trying to help become a better communicator, their language, unfortunately, is filled with what we call verbal crutches or filler words, like, you know, so, it's kind of, it's sort of. And these are unnecessary words. They are inefficient and they don't have any meaning, because often there is an alternative to saying or it's not saying anything. having a little bit of radio silence, which we don't like on the radio, but when we're interacting with people or when you hear a comedian setting up a joke ready for the punchline, they don't say, like in between the setup and the punchline. They take a little bit of time, they pause, and then they hit you with the punchline because it's the technique that made it into our minds and our hearts, not just the words, but the way in which the words were conveyed. And we've lost that. It just doesn't appear on social media simply because you don't have the same context when you're reading a text or an email.
Now, Chuck, I mean, for someone of your ilk, someone of your talent, someone of your skill, we want to focus on strategy. However, if it's okay, just because you know the listeners can benefit from this, perhaps you could share a great technique on writing a good email or communication through email.
Yeah, email's a really good one, Yitzhak, because unfortunately I get a lot of emails that begin with the word so. That is never so. Let's first establish what is not a good way to write an email. And putting in the word so, is not only does it not have any meaning, it's a distraction. Emails are meant to be clear and concise and should be, with respect to the length, just short enough to convey the message so that one will not accuse you of being verbose. But I think the toughest part of the emails is emails are often written in paragraph form. And many people read their emails on a phone.
Right.
And it's very difficult to read in paragraph form. So number one, that I would recommend is if you are going to write an email that is more than five sentences, bullet them. So create in the mind and in the eyes of the reader a way to segment each of the points, right? So it just makes it a lot easier to follow. Second thing is once you have decided on the elimination of the filler words, one, the subject line, some people don't have any because some people may get so many, sometimes they're just going to look at the subject line to determine the triage of what it is I'm going to read.
Right.
And once they get beyond that then, be sure it's in spell check. People make big judgments about others when they see, and some even have a disclaimer at the bottom, please pardon the typos. I understand. That's okay. But that email has become ever so important because it's where impressions are often formed if you haven't met somebody.
Right.
They will read the email. Is it clear? Is it concise? And we ask ourselves when we're writing an email, what do I want this email, the reader, to think? What do I want them to feel? And what do I want them to do with this email when it's done?
So once again, a great point. You're saying when someone sets out and writes that email, be cognizant of what you want the other person to take. What's the action step or what emotions do you want to bring out from them?
Correct.
Have that in mind as you're drafting the email.
That's right. And even if it is void of emotion because it's something very, you know, what would you like for lunch?
Right.
But always, even when we're communicating, whether it's written or whether it's spoken word, what's the call to action? What do you want me to do with this? And if particularly when you're going for influence or something very heavy beyond an email, what do I want them to think? What do I want them to feel? Those are very important in continuing the progression of this relationship that we've just developed. What do I want you to do? I want you to buy me a Coca-Cola. Okay, so maybe it's something as plain and simple as that. But people are so busy and in such a hurry, they want to be guided as toward, okay, so what do you want me to do with this? I'm not clear. So every email should be bulleted, clear, concise, and contain an action plan. But I think that Yitzhak applies to anything that we do, email or otherwise.
Folks, now you're getting an idea of why I begged, pleaded, cajoled, whatever, Chuck, to come on the show here. Chuck Garcia is my guest. You can find out more information about him by going to chuckgarcia.com. Again, a noted business executive coach, consultant, speaks international. Well, tell me some of the most far-flung places that you have lectured.
The most far-flung place is the opposite side of the planet, this little country called China. And what has been...
So how do you... How do you do that?
Yeah. It was 4 or 5 years ago, I was invited to guest lecture in a couple different universities right before I was the release of my book called A Climb to the Top.
Mm-hmm.
And the individual somehow was one thing led to another, and he invited me to China, and I spoke at the universities that he had sponsored. And he said, tell me about the topic. And so I told him, he knew I was going to come about communication skills, but he said, you told me you were writing a book. Yes, I am. What's the name of the book? And I said, it's called A Climb to the Top. And I said, the subheading is Leadership and Communication Tactics to Take Your Career to New Heights. He said, mm-hmm. So you're going to come to China and you're going to talk to us about communication skills. Yes, I am. Oh, my God. Has it been translated into Mandarin? And I said, no, I haven't gotten that far. He says, it is now. So
great.
He found a
Mazel tov.
Oh, thank you. So he, once I started in lecturing in the universities and always had a translator with me because we did it in English with a Mandarin translator, I saw the crowd saying, or the students, the clients, wherever I happened to be, they said, wow, this is really good. We haven't learned this. Tell me about the techniques in the book. So this individual, and I'll give him a shout out, his name is Tao Lin. He's my agent. Nice. He has just become a great trusted partner. He lives in a city in China called Shenzhen. So he arranged a book tour for me. First, when he said, hey, I think this would be a great idea, we should translate this into Chinese.
Mm-hmm.
And so within a matter of 8 weeks, we had not only a publishing agreement, we had 3,000 copies of A Climb to the Top in Chinese.
Wow.
It was such a great experience. So to answer your question then, from there, we had a book tour in Shenzhen, in a city called Guangzhou, in Shanghai, and in Hong Kong. So we traveled all around China, tour. It was a book tour, but it was really fun because subsequent to that, some Chinese companies were in the audience in many cases, and they have hired me in the United States.
Nice.
But what they said is we have an interesting opportunity here. And they talked about the spectrum of leadership tactics in what is conventional to how they are raised in China.
Mm-hmm.
And the leadership tactics I talk about on the importance and emphasis of communication skills. And one of my Chinese clients said, we are now in the United States, we are hiring Americans, and we really would appreciate if you could help us understand how to bridge the gap between styles. Because what they talked about in China, their leadership approach is very what they call command control. It's not good or bad, it's just the style they grew up with. Here in the United States, particularly in the high-tech companies, there is more of a bias on the opposite side of the spectrum that many in the Silicon Valley refer to as collaborate and connect.
Right.
Just more inclusive and a flatter organizational structure.
Mm-hmm.
Less hierarchy, more opportunity to navigate up and down the corporate ladder. So really what we in these far ends of the earth, and I've also spoken in Europe, but China's been the most fascinating because we look at the world stage now, two largest economies are two cultures that just don't know each other very well.
Right.
China's only come into the modern world in the last real generation. So here we are with the understanding that we want to help get to know each other better so we can be more productive workers, we can understand each other, be more empathetic in our leadership styles. So Yitzhak, it's been such an honor and a pleasure to be able to bring this work to China, to have the book in Chinese, to work with Chinese companies, and really just to understand we're all just people in the end, and just all trying to learn the skill sets that will help us develop more prosperous and successful careers.
Chuck Garcia is my guest. We're going to take a short commercial break. Stay tuned.
Hey, Joe, give me a minute. I'm going to run the numbers and circle back next week. Post it on Facebook, LinkedIn. Just get it up there.
You're great at what you do, and you're busier than ever. We get that. Imagine if you could devote every minute of your day to running your business and taking it to the next level. Enter Bottom Line Marketing Group. Bottom Line Marketing Group focuses on making your company look great so you can focus on growing your business. To see some award-winning projects produced by Bottom Line Marketing Group, visit www.bottomlinemg.com. That's www.bottomlinemg.com. Or call CEO Yitzhak Saflis on his direct line for a free consultation at 718-412-3505. That's 718-412-3505. Bottom Line Marketing Group. Marketing solutions to grow your bottom line.
So recently, a healthy couple in their mid-50s came into Alitra Health for their longevity exam. They were not expecting particularly to find anything wrong on the assessment, but the exam showed otherwise.
Dr. Avi Nemitz is medical director at Alitra Health's Manhattan Center for Life and Longevity.
So they go through a very complete evaluation, blood work, scanning of the coronary arteries, stress tests, evaluation by nutritionists and exercise physiologists. We sit down at the end of the day, and his whole world changed in that moment.
Alitra Health provides a full, in-depth, comprehensive longevity exam to detect problems before they occur.
Without an intervention, he was going to have an active cardiac problem. So I told him, look, you're going to be fine. He left with a lot of confidence, knowing exactly what he was supposed to do. We understood what he had, and now he's going to be able to deal with it.
Why spend time worrying when Alitra Health in Manhattan can provide you with a complete snapshot of your health today? Visit AlitraHealth.com. That's E-L-I-T-R-A Health.com. Alitra Center for Life and Longevity. Because nothing matters if you don't have your health.
Your company website is crucial to your success, providing information about your company to the entire world. Was your website recently updated? Is it mobile friendly? Well, look no further than WebsiteWithBrains.com, the complete website solution. Call Website with Brains today at 718-412-3500. That's 718-412-3500. Or visit WebsiteWithBrains.com. The experienced team at Website with Brains will plan, write, design, and program a stunning and informative website that combines simplicity and flexibility. Get ready to look great online and take your business to the next level. Call Website with Brains today at 718-412-3500. That's 718-412-3500.
And we're back. Mind Your Business with Yisroch Saflis right here on 77 WABC around the world at mybradio.com. My guest this evening, a buddy of mine, Chuck Garcia. Chuck, thank you for joining me here on Mind Your Business.
My pleasure, Yitzhak. Thank you for having me.
Now, Chuck, on your site, you have the following quote. Okay, no matter your profession, your success will be determined 5% by your academic credentials, 15% by your professional experiences, 15% by your natural ability, and 65% by your communication skills. I'll take it away.
Yeah, when I wrote A Climb to the Top, I wanted it to be a framework for how I can teach people to communicate in more powerful and compelling ways. And I thought the Ten Commandments were a good mindset. I grew up in a Catholic educated. We learned about the Bible, and we learned about the Ten Commandments. And if you look at Letterman, top 10, there's just, and you look at sports, top 10. Okay, so we've got a framework. We're going to have it in 10 different techniques. And when I took, and when I wrote the book, I wanted in each different commandment, I wanted to be able to interview a C-level individual that was in my world in some capacity who demonstrated an exceptional use of that commandment. So one of them in particular is called the Rule of Three. It's a Greek rhetorical technique that, for instance, we have certain inalienable rights in the United States, if you're born here, of life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. Mm-hmm. We know when we read stories as little children, three little pigs, three musketeers, three blind mice. If you have a genie in a bottle, he is going to grant you three wishes.
Goldilocks and the three bears.
The three bears, exactly. Endless. So in this framework, each of the individuals that I interviewed was really good at one of them. And as I was writing the book, it became pretty apparent when I asked each of them, tell me, Joe, John, whoever was interviewed, tell me if you had to break down the components of how you achieved your success, what would it be? And many of them talked about their college experience. It was very good, but the longer I'm away from college, the more distant it seems.
Right.
Okay, so what were they? And they talked about it. And as I finished my interviews, I said, this is pretty clear. DNA, okay, everybody has a certain penchant for things. Professional experience is the name they give to their mistakes, which good, and everybody admits them, which is good. But they all said it's that communication layer, the massive emphasis to get to CEO is all about calm under pressure, communicating powerfully, resolving conflict, showing empathy to your people in your purview. I looked at all of that and I said, I think we've got our formula. So I appreciate there may be other formulas. This was the research that was driven by the data that was reflected in the interviews I used for A Climb to the Top. And it seemed pretty clear to me. I can happily and proudly display these percentages because it is the most honest depiction of the skill sets or the attributes that so many people who have succeeded have shared in the book. And it was, I didn't know what those numbers were going to be. That's what it is. Go with it.
I want to hold on to something you raised, and you raised it earlier in the show as well. Calm under pressure. Is that something that can be taught? Is it something only that a person needs life experience to know how to handle that? What's your take on that?
It definitely can be taught. We teach it a lot. Mm. And when you think about every individual, everyone we measure, when we have a coaching assignment, we measure what's called natural tendencies. And there's a formula that's developed by a neuroscientist at the University of California's template I use, and it really helps us to understand what is the emotional, let's call it neutral drive, or where is somebody, their neutral stance of how they handle their emotions. Now, the social scientist 20 years ago invented or at least came up with this wonderful concept called emotional intelligence. And it all is rooted in how well we are able to manage our emotions when it seems like the sky is falling. Right. How do we? So the first part of that mm-hmm. is the recognition that it can be measured, because it can't be improved unless you figure out what it is needs right. to be improved right. and how. So there is a scale for it. And what I found is a great complement to teaching people communication skills. Mm-hmm. If we accept that we have to help leaders be calm under pressure and be more empathetic, well, that comes in a layer of emotional intelligence. Many of them have high IQs. Okay, good. Mm-hmm. They're smart people. Mm-hmm. But if you're really smart in IQ and you have a poor EQ, it is a success inhibitor. So what we do is we measure, in addition to the communication skills, we measure the EQ. We help them with a variety of techniques that are well documented and described. How do we help individuals when they are under fire, under the metaphorical right. fire, right. under pressure?
Right. Right.
How do we help them with breathing techniques, with mindfulness, to recognize where they are in time and space and not let their emotions hijack the very thing they're trying to convey? Because what often happens, Yitzhak, is when people get caught up into the pressure, something is called either adrenal overdrive or emotional hijacking. Then they begin to break down and stop thinking. In this age in 2019, where everyone is on camera all the time, mm-hmm. they will be seen. And those impressions are formed. So we use in our coaching practice a combination of three cues.
Mm-hmm.
Emotional intelligence, the IQ, the intelligence quotient.
Mm-hmm.
And now what Silicon Valley has adapted, simply because the world is changing so fast, a third component called the adaptability quotient. If they take a brilliant engineer and that engineer has a fixed mindset and the business model is going to change or something is going to change, and that individual isn't open-minded to be able to change with the changing models of the universe,
mm-hmm.
their careers are inhibited.
Right, right.
So we are finding now that social scientists are promoting the triad of emotional intelligence, intelligence quotient, and adaptability quotient as an entire holistic approach to the assessment of an individual's talent and their acumen or propensity for promotion.
So let's say, for many in the audience, this is the first they're hearing about AQ. Perhaps we could just go back, because this is like fascinating.
Yeah.
Emotional intelligence, perhaps we could just explain. You mentioned that came onto the scene roughly 20, 25 years ago. And this AQ.
AQ, you know, EQ came in the early 90s. And the seminal work is written by a guy named Daniel Goleman. And he talked about, in the subtext of his book called Emotional Intelligence, why EQ matters more than IQ.
Hmm.
And he came out of Harvard.
Matters more.
More. Yeah, he says more right on the cover of the book. And he's a social scientist at Harvard. And he talked about no matter how skilled you are, no matter how smart you are, if you don't understand how to control your emotions, you are going to have a hard time ascending to the career that you want to get to. In addition to that, I will want to mention a book that has a big impact on me, mm-hmm. and it's a book, and think about the title. The title of the book is What Got You Here Won't Get You There. And if we think about what's here and there, well, this book was written by a gentleman named Marshall Goldsmith, who is the star of Executive Coaches, and I've read everything he's written, but what he talked about is the difference. So think about a ladder, and what got you to the top of the first set of the ladder is technical competence. Then when he looked at what got people to the next step of the ladder, it wasn't technical competence at all. It was behaviorally rooted. It was rooted in their emotional intelligence, in their ability to empathize with their employees, in their ability to connect, to look them in the eye, to make them feel an emotional appeal. These are the soft skills that are so critical in promotion criteria, and ultimately what these two the gentlemen have said in their books is what gets one to the top. So a climb to the top, which is why I called it that, are all of the components of EQ, IQ, your adaptability, your perseverance, your motivation. None of these are reflected on a GPA, on a resume, on a transcript. They're unseen, yet they're not unproven because we know the people who possess them. Most of them are the ones sitting in the C-suite in the corner office.
Now we're going to go to a commercial break, but I want to tease the audience. When I come back, I am going to ask Chuck if a person's emotional intelligence can be improved through training, or is it just life experience, etc. We'll be right back. Stay tuned.
Finally, a payroll service that does things your way. At Brands Paycheck, you're not a number, you're a partner. Brands Paycheck's personalized payroll solutions ensure that your business receives your financial information the way you want it. From complete payroll services and time tracking to benefits administration and HR solutions, Brands Paycheck helps streamline your business's payroll process and maximize productivity. Call 888-757-3020. That's 888-757-3020 to schedule a free consultation. Brands Paycheck services a wide range of industries nationwide, including hospitality, transportation, B2B, B2C, nonprofit, finance, retail, healthcare, real estate, and more. Learn why companies nationwide rely on Brands Paycheck. Call 888-757-3020. That's 888-757-3020 to schedule a free consultation today or visit online at BrandsPaycheck.com. That's BrandsPaycheck.com.
Hey, Joe, give me a minute. I'm going to run the numbers and circle back next week. Post it on Facebook, LinkedIn. Just get it up there.
You're great at what you do, and you're busier than ever. We get that. Imagine if you could devote every minute of your day to running your business and taking it to the next level. Enter Bottom Line Marketing Group. Bottom Line Marketing Group focuses on making your company look great so you can focus on growing your business. To see some award-winning projects produced by Bottom Line Marketing Group, visit www.bottomlinemg.com. That's www.bottomlinemg.com. Or call CEO Yitzhak Saflis on his direct line for a free consultation at 718-412-3505. That's 718-412-3505. Bottom Line Marketing Group. Marketing solutions to grow your bottom line.
Missed an episode of Mind Your Business? We've got you covered. Check out our YouTube channel, Mind Your Business with Yitzhak Saflis, to hear interviews with business executives and thought leaders whenever and wherever you want. That's Mind Your Business with Yitzhak Saflis.
And we're back. Mind Your Business with Yitzhak Saflis right here on 77 WABC. My guest, my special guest, Chuck Garcia from Climb Leadership. He is a professor at Columbia, LIU. I don't know how he has time to climb Mount Kilimanjaro. Okay, by the way, how often do you climb? Mount Kilimanjaro?
I've done Kilimanjaro once, but I've been on 7 mountain expeditions in the last 14 years. So call it every other year.
Now, I've heard from the grapevine that you sometimes take your students with you, mountain climbing.
I have taken my students 4 times to Mount Washington, New Hampshire, and 6th, which is the northeast.
And that, not by car. They don't go with the car, right? No cheating.
Oh, no. They do not drive up to, no. We walk up in packs. And I have taken, that's the northeast highest peak is New Hampshire. That's been a privilege. And I've taken my students 6 times to New York State's highest peak, which is called Mount Marcy. That is in the Adirondacks, and that is 5,300 feet above sea level. Part of the reason why I take
that's
my...
That's going to be my question.
I do that because I want, the metaphor of the mountain climb and the career climb, I want them to be able not just to see it on the YouTube, I want them to feel it and to be a part of it. So we wake up at 4:45 in the morning. For college students that
it's
are accustomed,
brutal.
It's brutal
it's
to
brutal.
Them, it is to me, I love it. We are up before the sun rises, and typically Mount Marcy at 5,300 feet above sea level is about a 12-hour round-trip climb. I want them to be comfortable in the discomfort and to recognize mountain climbing is hard, careers are hard, but why do it if it were easy? I don't want them to look at their future and look for the easy path. I want them to recognize that the growth occurs in the struggle. And many of the students, when they get up to around 200-300 feet short of the summit, it is the hardest part of the climb. You're on hands and knees for about 30 minutes. And to many of them, they look up and they said, oh my God, I can't do it. Well, the metaphor kicks in of set a goal, one step at a time, can't do it alone. Often at that point, we just get other climbers, we all coalesce, and we help each other get to the top and to the bottom of the mountain. So it is an honor and a privilege to do that. I do it every year, and I love doing it.
Now, of course, folks, I am going to get back to my key question about emotional intelligence. I have not forgotten. But just, again, when I'm with Chuck, I'm just excited. So
no,
I'm sorry.
I appreciate it. Thank you. Yeah, same here. Love being here.
Question, have you ever met up yet with any students that you climbed a mountain and now are successful leaders? And like it's in Hebrew, it's called nachas.
Nachas.
Nachas is that word that like now I'm reaping the pleasure and of seeing my student grow successfully because of what I imparted into him.
Indeed. And in fact, I would say one of my proudest students is, I'm going to put it on the radio. His name is Anthony Sicuranza. He was my student, and he now works at a small little company in California called Google. He was not a top 10 student in high school. He's one of those guys, and he is, I think in one of my chapters is called The Power of the Pause, and it's taken from a Mark Twain quote that said, the right word may be effective, but no word is as effective as a rightly timed pause. Anthony, if you're listening, you learned the power of the pause better than anyone. But to see Anthony grow and evolve, he climbed Mount Marcy. Nice. To see him at Google, it is harder to get into Google than into Harvard University admission. And many of my other students are at Bloomberg and Goldman Sachs and Morgan Stanley, and they're all over the world. It is such a joy because that brings me incredible satisfaction because they all come back to me later and said, thank you for teaching us the communication skills. I see exactly the difference between how to do it right and how to do it wrong. Indeed, it is a wonderful thing to see. It's why I do it.
Now, I don't want anyone to get upset at me or all these emails coming in say, why aren't you asking Chuck about emotional intelligence? Here I'm coming back. Okay. Yeah. So emotional intelligence. We understand that someone who's been out there in the field for decades, so certainly they build, you would hope, one would think, they would build a great emotional intelligent quota or however that would be defined. Is it really possible to teach it to children in college, to teach it to aspiring leaders at a young age and that they'll get it?
It is. In fact, I use it in my undergraduate curriculum. And to boil down emotional intelligence in its most simple form, there are 4 components to it, but I only speak about 2. The most important one is this concept simply called self-awareness. And it's really about helping somebody understand, are they aware of their behavior? Are they aware of the second part, which is called social awareness? Are they aware of the impact they have on others when each of them are in the room? The vibe they give, the way they communicate, their body language, all of this is measurable. So we give all of our students a questionnaire to be able to have a frame and a scale. That questionnaire, let's say for self-awareness, is based on 1 through 100. So if somebody gets a 75, that means there's 25 utils of that scale by which they could improve. And often, and we have an entire list of techniques, and sometimes they're as simple as before you're going to say something to somebody, take a second to breathe and to think about that statement, as opposed to many people in their quest to show their power, knee-jerk reactions and immediate responses without even giving their mind one thought. Could I answer that question differently? Because what we teach in EQ, it's not what you say, because people will forget what you say. This is the great Maya Angelou quote, best advice I ever had. People, and she said, I have learned that people will forget what you say, people will forget what you do, but they will never forget how you make them feel. This is what so people true. Go away with on the train in New York when they're on their train ride home. What are they thinking about? They're not thinking about what their boss said. They're thinking about how somebody made them feel. And on their commute into the office, do they feel like this is a place where I feel psychologically safe, where people have my best interest at heart? This is where self and social awareness are measurable and improvable. It works. I've seen it happen a lot. Particularly, the self-awareness continues to improve by helping people understand the techniques. And it goes back to yoga, Yitzhak, of breathing. Just understand you don't have to answer everything in the first split second. Take the time, close your eyes, reflect. After a while, you begin to change the hard wiring in your brain that is so accustomed to the constant act and react of our conversations.
Chuck, how can someone find out how they rate in terms of EQ?
There is a great book called EQ 2.0. Cost $20. Best $20 investment I ever made. They can buy it. They take an assessment, has several questions. When the question is done, you hit the submit key. It comes back not only with your scale, with suggested improvements. Here, based upon your EQ responses and where you are on the scale, here is a list of 5, 10, 15 things to be able to do. And it's a great list, and I practice them in my class. So many of my students are grateful for thank you for bringing it to our attention, for recognizing when they go into the business community, it's about how others feel. It's not just about that you got a 4.0 in college. It's great if you did, but that's not what people are going to remember. They're going to remember how you treated them.
Time flies. Chuck, can you believe it? We have only around 5-6 minutes left to the show.
Yeah, wow. Well, it's fun to be here. We should do
Thank
this
you.
More often.
Thank
yeah,
you.
Time is flying.
Thank you. Oh, let's talk about fears.
Yeah.
Okay. My understanding is that the number one fear, one of the highest fears out there is public speaking. Now, executives have to get out there, whether they're speaking in front of a crowd of 10, 1,000, or they're just presenting in the boardroom. Public speaking is a key. I understand that you coach on that. You give training on that. And there's so many in the listening audience. Everyone, and the reason why I'm holding on to this is one of our core questions that we have to discuss is because public speaking is one of the key elements that will make you successful.
Yeah.
Why is that, and how could someone improve it?
Indeed, why it is. Well, it's borne out in my book, In a Climb to the Top, where we talk about the common element about all those guys that we interviewed in the book, men, women, it doesn't matter. Mm-hmm. It crosses all cultures, all nationalities, is the ability to be able to inspire, the ability to persuade, and the ability to provoke change. That's a common thread in the book. Because if you ask, what did the great leaders of the world do? Look at Gandhi and Churchill and Martin Luther King and John Kennedy, what did they do? They provoked change. So the first thing is developing the mindset that you're not here to, maybe you're here to protect the status quo. I hope you're not. The world is changing too fast. What is our responsibility when it comes to provocation? Well, that sometimes gets a negative connotation, but it's not, because we're constantly having to change. Either we change the world or the world will change us. Mm-hmm. So let's be the ones to change the world. The communication skills is the way in which C-level people have to communicate to their entire company. And they do it it generally on a stage or on YouTube, but it's very personal. You hear their words. Mm-hmm. You see them in their clothes. This is so critical because many people who do this, this is not something that was either emphasized in their formal education, and they're scared to death of doing it because of the fear. And there's generally, most people we coach have three fears. The first is simply making a mistake. They don't like to do it. They don't want to make any mistakes. It's like, okay. The second is a fear of judgment. They are afraid that if they do something badly, they will be poorly judged. And the third, plain and simple, the fear of failure. And I understand that, and I get why it is, but our job is to help them to confront those fears, because if they don't confront the fears become their limits. And we're trying to help them to bust through and to unshackle the limits. And generally, in public speaking, people are so afraid of making a wrong move, they just settle for a very low bar. They don't speak with enthusiasm, with power. They're not compelling. They don't inspire. Their success, Yitzhak, in their own mind is often driven by the absence of mistakes. Now, think about that. If we sat in a world and we thought about it and we deemed success by not making mistakes, we wouldn't get very far.
That's correct.
So we help them to get comfortable, to strive for progress, not perfection, to recognize that every time they make a mistake, it's an opportunity to learn their craft even better. So it's and part of the mountain climbing is being comfortable in the discomfort. Public speaking is a mountain. It's a big one, harder than Kilimanjaro.
Now, you just mentioned something that's so profound that people will rise until the point that they feel inhibited,
right,
and they can't go. How do you train people to blast through that and go past it? Because it's there.
Yeah.
It's there in their minds, but it's there.
One of the ways to do it is heighten the contrast between what good looks like. And oftentimes we video all of our clients. We put them on the presentation at first and they see it. And what they see and
they cringe?
Oh, my God. In fact, they turn red in embarrassment. They're like, oh, my God, don't show anybody that. And they're like, no, it's cool. We're good on that. We're not your judges. We're your teachers. We're here to instruct. And everything, what we teach them is every time you have a speech to give, it has to have three components. It has to be instructional, it has to be motivational, and it has to be actionable. Everything that you have in your speech has to have any one of those three. And many don't even think about it. It's just get up there and blab. Well, I'm here to inform you that. Right. Well, no, we're not here to inform. We're here to provoke change. So what happens is when they begin to see themselves, because most people don't have the luxury of seeing themselves ever on video. Even you ask most people if they hear themselves on a voicemail, they hate the sound of their own voice.
Right, right.
So let's confront it. Let's look at this. And if you said verbal crutches and filler words and your body language was bad, bring it all out. That's okay. This is where we begin to lay down the tracks of your development plan.
So it's like a pitcher in baseball. They're going to show him highlight reel. And to tweak his motion if he's out of sync.
Yeah.
Because if they're not watching the film, even if it's hard to watch, but watch it, and then you could start to make improvements.
Every hitting coach has videoed in slow motion photography the swing of their players. And they watch exactly how they turn the bat, their hands. The batters want that feedback because we're here to make you a better hitter. We're not here to tell you you're a lousy hitter. Right. We want everyone to succeed. And the only way to do it, you confront the thing that I'm doing badly. And if we can do that and get comfortable in the discomfort, you're on a mountain. It's hard. It should be hard. Or else why do it?
I want to jump to the other side. The people that are obsessed with perfection.
Mm.
And we had a guest here in the past, Stephen Gaffney. He talked about perfectionitis. How do you coach people who are just stuck and are handcuffed because everything just has to be perfect and they haven't reached it, and therefore they can't move forward?
Yeah, this is where your brain goes into consultant mode and you don't make statements, you start asking questions. And you said, tell me a time where you learned a lesson. And when you get them to speak and they begin to reflect on their past, after a while they begin to say, you know what? Chuck, you're right. I never thought that I learned more from failing that test than I did from getting the hundreds on all the others. It's not something you can dictate or legislate. They have to come to it, and there are techniques that we employ. And it's not a hidden tactic. We're just trying to help them to come to terms with, if you want to develop, you will never develop in perfection. That's an impossibility. So if we can help them come to the realization that they are here in the spirit of their development, which means make mistakes. In fact, sometimes I start even classes or coaching sessions. Today, guys, everyone here is going to make mistakes. Who wants to make mistakes? And I say it with great enthusiasm and aplomb. And at first, my students, oh my God, what's with this guy? He's got to be nuts. I'm not here to make, I'm here to get 100. No, you're here to develop. And you know, the only way to do that, get comfortable in the discomfort. That is the common theme here.
You can find out more information about my fantastic guest by going to chuckgarcia.com, chuckgarcia.com. He's an executive coach. He's a professor at Columbia, LIU. He climbs mountains. He kind of does it all. Not kind of. He does it all.
Appreciate the filler word.
Man. Chuck, we have only around 60 seconds left. What final takeaway could you share? I know there are many, but in 60 seconds, I'm sorry, but you could do anything,
so you'll do it. No, I appreciate 60, that.
A takeaway from Mind Your Business.
The takeaway is I'm asking everyone to consider their own metaphorical mountain. And what we know is when you ask most people, what do they want out of their life? They want to live a happy and prosperous life. But the reality of that is in order to get there, they go to work every day. And my takeaway, what I hope I can inspire and provoke a change. When it comes to self-development, there are many companies that will help you, but nobody is going to help you more than you help yourself. Warren Buffett says, improve your communication skills and you will increase your value by 50%. My call to action, first thing, read How to Win Friends and Influence People. Mm-hmm. Form a development plan in your own mind, whether it involves a climb to the top, how to win for whatever that is, start to develop, take assessments, confront your fears, look in the mirror and ask, what do I want to improve today? And when you can begin to answer that and commit to your own learning development, and it is a commitment, commitment no different. I'm going to run a marathon. You commit to it. It's now more important than ever. I'm not saying get away from the social media. What I am saying is learn to improve your ability to communicate, to collaborate, and to connect with others as a path to more success and ultimately prosperity and happiness.
Folks, I appreciate the confidence you have in me and the team here to never let you down with great guests, and tonight was no different. Chuck, what an amazing show.
Yitzhak, such a pleasure. Thank you so much for having me here. It was wonderful.
Well, that wraps up a great edition with Chuck Garcia. Thank you. And tune in again next Sunday night for another great edition of Mind Your Business right here on 77 WABC.
77 WABC Radio presents Mind Your Business, hosted by founder and president of Bottom Line Marketing Group, Yitzhak Safliff. Mind Your Business focuses on business and marketing strategies for success. Tune in every Sunday night for this intriguing weekly radio show that's chock full of business insights and marketing strategies that will help you get ahead of the game. Host Yitzhak Safliff has been producing pioneering and creative marketing work for over 2 decades. He leads a team of marketing experts who help their clients build their brands and grow their businesses. Now, he and his guests offer their business and marketing expertise to you every Sunday night on Mind Your Business.
This podcast is a part of the C-Suite Radio Network. For more top business podcasts, visit c-suiteradio.com.